Greetings. I see you're back for some more scary stories to tell in the dark. Wonderful. I do hope that your Halloween plans are going accordingly. But for now, I do hope that you've enjoyed the audios presented to you this week. As you know, I will be cranking these out as quickly as possible. But in the meantime, I have a selection for you. Not a very large selection, mind you. But they are very good. The wonderful thing about this tome, it is an amalgamation of folklore and, well, many of these stories that you'll hear may sound familiar. Urban legends from wherever you have been. Creepypastas, perhaps, for those of you who scour the internet for such things. Before there was creepypasta, however, there were folk tales like these. That is why I cherish this book. Oh yes, this treasury has gone a long way for me. But enough of the preamble. Let us, as they say, get to the amble with our first story. High Beams. The girl driving the old blue sedan was a senior in high school. She lived on a farm about 8 miles away and used the car to drive back and forth. She had driven into town that night to see a basketball game. Now she was on her way home. As she pulled away from the school, she noticed a red pickup truck follow her out of the parking lot. A few minutes later, the truck was still behind her. "I guess we're going in the same direction," she thought. She began to watch the truck in her mirror. When she changed her speed, the driver of the truck changed his speed. When she passed a car, so did he. Then he turned on his high beams, flooding her car with light. He left them on for almost a minute. "He probably wants to pass me," she thought. But she was becoming uneasy. Usually she drove home over a back road. Not too many people went that way. But when she turned onto that road, so did the truck. "I've got to get away from him," she thought, and she began to drive faster. Then he turned his high beams on again. After a minute, he turned them off. Then he turned them on again and off again. She drove even faster, but the truck driver stayed right behind her. Then he turned on his high beams again. Once more, her car was ablaze with light. "What is he doing?" she wondered. "What does he want?" Then he turned them off again. But a minute later, he had them on again, and he left them on. At last, she pulled into her driveway, and the truck pulled right behind her. She jumped from the car and ran to the house. "Call the police!" she screamed at her father. Out in the driveway, she could see the driver of the truck. He had a gun in his hand. When the police arrived, they started to arrest him, but he pointed to the girl's car. "You don't want me," he said. "You want him." Crouched behind the driver's seat, there was a man with a knife. You see, as the driver of the truck explained, The man slipped into the girl's car just before she left the school. He saw it happen, but there was no way he could stop it. He thought about getting the police, but he was afraid to leave her. So he followed her car. Each time the man in the back seat reached up to overpower her, the driver of the truck turned on his high beams. Then the man would drop down, afraid that someone might see him. Now, in terms of scary stories, this is one that rings a little too true for some. The constant needing to be aware of strangers. Constantly having to look out for those who might do you harm. A very real fear. For me, this is possibly one of the scariest stories here. To be so vulnerable and at the hand of someone else who is trying to save your life. How awkward it would be. But still, a very good story. Remember, children, whenever you enter your vehicle, always check the back seats. You never know who might be trying to hitchhike along with you. Now, on to our next tale. This one is simply titled, Rings on Her Finger. Daisy Clark had been in a coma for more than a month when the doctor said that she had finally died. She was buried on a cool summer day in a small cemetery about a mile away from her home. May she always rest in peace, her husband said. But she didn't. Late that night, a grave robber with a shovel and a lantern began to dig her up. Since the ground was still soft, he quickly reached the coffin and got it open. His hunch was right. Daisy had been buried wearing two valuable rings. A wedding ring with a diamond in it, and a ring with a ruby that glowed as if it were alive. The thief got down on his knees and reached into the coffin to get the rings, but they were stuck fast on her fingers. So he decided that the only way to get them was to cut off her fingers with a knife. But when he cut into the finger with the wedding ring, it began to bleed, and Daisy Clark began to stir. Suddenly, she sat up. Terrified, the thief scrambled to his feet. He accidentally kicked over the lantern, and the light went out. He could hear Daisy climb out of her grave. As she moved past him in the dark, he stood there frozen with fear, clutching the knife in his hand. When Daisy saw him, she pulled her shroud around her and asked, "Who are you?" When the grave robber heard this corpse speak, he ran. Daisy shrugged her shoulders and walked on, and never once looked back. But in his fear and confusion, the thief fled in the wrong direction. He pitched headlong into her grave, fell on the knife, and stabbed himself. While Daisy walked home, the thief bled to death. What an interesting story. It says something about how we value thievery and valuables. Do the dead truly need to be buried with their items? Is it a sign of respect to leave them with them? Or do they truly need it if they cannot carry it with them to the other side? Why do we assign such value to trinkets and things that, much like our own mortal coil, are destined to eventually turn to dust? It is an interesting morality play. The thief losing his life. But do you ever stop to think, why is this man a thief? Most people don't steal just for the thrill of it, unless they're rich. The majority of people do it out of desperation. But the way this story is played out, it is a warning to not disturb the dead, and it is a wise warning to some, although questionable perhaps to others, and understandably so. See how, from one little story, so much philosophy can be extrapolated. It tells us about a society, our own modern society. Did that man truly deserve to die? Because had he not gone to the thief? Ah, Daisy Clark would never have been able to rise from her coma. Also, malpractice being what it is, having someone legally declared dead only for them to be buried alive. A common trope and a fear for many, the idea of being entombed wrongfully. The idea of being buried alive. Interesting point of fact, no matter how good your casket is, the amount of dirt that gets shoveled onto a corpse, there is a large chance that it will collapse. This story becomes far-fetched, but still, there is that lingering fear that what if someday you are buried alive? Will you have a good thief to come exhume you? Or will you have to suffocate in the dark, alone, scratching at the lid for freedom that will never come? Far scarier, I think, don't you? Morbid as these topics are, it is important that we discuss death, we discuss fear, because only in talking about it does it lose its power over us. We will all die. It is a fact. But not all of us gets to truly live. Now then, one final tale for tonight. This one is quite the treasure. The Dream. Lucy Morgan was an artist. She had spent a week painting in a small country town and decided that the next day she would move on. She would go to a little village called Kingston. But that night, Lucy Morgan had a strange dream. She dreamed that she was walking up a dark, carved staircase and entered a bedroom. It was an ordinary room, except for two things. The carpet was made up of large squares that looked like trap doors, and each of the windows was fastened shut with big nails that stuck up out of the wood. In her dream, Lucy Morgan went to sleep in that bedroom. During the night, a woman with a pale face and black eyes and long black hair came into the room. She leaned over the bed and whispered, "This is an evil place. Flee while you can." When the woman touched her arm to hurry her along, Lucy Morgan awakened from her dream with a shriek. She lay awake the rest of the night, trembling. In the morning, she told her landlady that she had decided not to go to Kingston after all. "I can't tell you why," she said, "but I just can't bring myself to go there." "Then why don't you go to Dorset?" the landlady said. "It's a pretty town and isn't too far." So Lucy Morgan went to Dorset. Someone told her she could find a room in a house at the top of the hill. It was a pleasant-looking house, and the landlady there, a plump, motherly woman, was as nice as could be. "Let's look at the room," she said. "I think you will like it." They walked up a dark, carved staircase, like the one in Lucy's dream. "In these old houses, the staircases are all the same," Lucy thought. But when the landlady opened the door to the bedroom, it was the room in her dream, with the same carpet that looked like trapdoors, and the same windows fastened with big nails. "It's just a coincidence," Lucy told herself. "How do you like it?" the landlady asked. "I'm not sure," she said. "Well, take your time," the landlady said. "I'll bring up some tea while you think about it." Lucy sat on the bed, staring at the trapdoors and the big nails. Soon, there was a knock on the door. "It's the landlady with the tea," she thought. But it wasn't the landlady. It was the woman with the pale face and the black eyes and the long black hair. Lucy Morgan grabbed her things and fled. Dreams are an interesting subject. Do you know that even in the realm of psychology, it is often debated if dreams actually have meaning? Surely some will see them as random neurons firing. Some will see them as us processing our days. And others swear that it is prophecy, the voice of the gods speaking to us. There are so many theories about what dreams are, what they mean, that dreams hold a certain power to us. Sometimes they do truly mean nothing, others everything. What do dreams mean to you, dear traveler? And if dreams have meaning, what of nightmares? Can nightmares be implanted by others? Perhaps by listening to this audio, you may have some nightmares tonight. Perhaps not. Perhaps you will dream of cute and fluffy things. Though, in this particular season, I do have my doubts. But it seems our time is up, my dear traveler. And while I have enjoyed our time reading this evening, it is time for you to get some rest. I will leave you once again with another missive from our dear friend Mazarus.
"Hello, everyone. It's me, Mazarus, the Stroke of Midnight. Once again, I want to thank you all so very much for watching my audios. watching the videos on YouTube. Thank you for like, favorite, sharing, and subscribe, and hitting the notification bell. I cannot tell you how much I've been enjoying recording these audios and giving my commentary on Alan Schwartz's scary stories. So many of these hit on old fears, and they hit on just primal things. And I think that's what makes them last, is they hit on those very primal fears. And I love getting to comment on that. But in the meantime, I do hope you're enjoying some of the other audios. My Mothman, in particular, was a fun, cute kind of audio. I have another couple of them coming out, including a Bigfoot audio and a Chupacabra. That being said, there are some audios that have not been recorded or released yet that will be of a darker persuasion. I'm looking forward to putting those out. In the meantime, I want to thank you all so very much for your time, and as always, sweet dreams and pleasant nightmares.